How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, it feels good, huh? I feel good. I'm excited this morning, honestly. I love being here, love seeing you guys, love worshiping, love reading the word with you guys, so I'm excited. So we're week three, right, of campaign Rooted. What does it mean? And we're going to go through the campaign goals. And number one, connecting with God, the church, and your purpose, right? So ultimately, the church is the place where we gather and we actually can do life together. But we have a purpose, and it's for His glory, not for your own.
Amen.
But today we're going to be talking about how does God speak to us? And then halfway through the sermon, we're going to switch gears and we say, how do we speak to God, right? So I was reading, a lot of stuff going on, but I was reading a story. I don't know if you guys know. There was a man that was walking at Reedy Beach. You guys know where Reedy Beach is?
Yeah.
I love that Reedy Beach, because it's like, that's how they get all the football players to come. It's like, oh, there's a beach there? Reedy College is not. There was a man that was walking along Reedy Beach, and he was coming along, and he stumbled on like a lamp. Now, this is not a lamp, it's kind of lights up, but use your imagination. You know, that thing that you used to use when you were a kid, okay? He was coming alongside, and he picked up the lamp, and he saw it, and he's like, what is this? And then he did what, you know, you guys seen Aladdin 2, right? So he rubs the lamp, and it opens. And a genie pops out. And the genie pops out, and he says, who's awakened me? And he's like, well, I was just walking. I found the lamp on the floor. And he says, well, you're now my master. I'm going to grant you some wishes. And so the very first wish, the man, he's thinking, and he's like, you know what? I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but you know, I'm afraid of getting on the airplane. You know, so I'm really terrified of getting on the plane. And he says, can you build me a bridge from here, from Reedy Beach, all the way to Hawaii? The genie starts thinking, and he says, like, man, seriously? Do you know how far that is? That's like thousands of miles. And resources and time. Can't you just pick up like something else, like wealth or gold or long life? He says, no, I really, and he starts thinking, the guy, and he's like, okay, maybe I was asking for too much. But then he thinks long and hard, and he says, you know what, I do have another wish then. I'm going to change it. He said, help me to understand my wife. Because sometimes when I'm talking to her, she says it's fine, but then she's not really fine. So genie, help me to understand my wife. The genie thinks long and hard, and he says, so about that bridge, do you want it to be two lanes or three lanes? You guys get it, right?
I get it.
How we speak and how we communicate with each other. Isn't it funny? You guys, it's tongue-in-cheek, but there's so much that goes into communication, right? There's body language. There's tone. There's how we respond to each other. And this is for my wife. Whether she sees the white of my eyes, so she knows that I'm fully comprehending, and that she also has to talk to me like I'm a kid. Okay, repeat what I just said. Because if not, I'm not paying attention. I'm just like, yeah, And then she gets so mad at me because I was like, hey, what about that thing? And she was like, oh my gosh, I just told you. So communication it can be challenging, right? Everybody here should say amen. You had some kind of miscommunication with somebody, you either miscommunication, misread, or lack of communication, right? So, yes, communication is hard, especially in relationships. There's a sign-up sheet in the back for the marriage class, and anybody, okay. But that's human communication. I'm here to tell you guys this morning that God, thankfully, is not like us. He is very clear. He doesn't mince words. It's not like did I miss the body language? Did I misunderstand that? No, God speaks to us very clearly. And on the flip side of that, we have the opportunity to speak to Him very clearly. And so that's what we're going to be covering this morning. Because ultimately, you know, we've been learning that God is a creator, that He is powerful. And what we didn't have time to cover last week as much is that God is also very personal, that He has made Himself known to us, that He's not hidden. He's not like the way that we are sometimes, you know, when we're mad or like, she's going to figure it out. I'm not going to tell her, she's going to figure out why I'm mad. Or the flip side, he's going to figure out what's bothering me, right? God is not that way. He makes himself known to us in a very personal and tangible way through Jesus Christ. So that's going to be the first fill in the blank for the message today. God speaks to us by making himself known in a personal and tangible way through Jesus Christ. Now, you guys know what the word tangible means? It's like practical. It's not like hidden. It's not an illusion. It's very practical. You can see it. Right? Jesus was man and God at the same time. He walked the earth. So God reveals himself to us in nature. We talked about that last week. Through the power of his word, through his son, and through the Holy Spirit. Let's just recap some of the things that we talked about last week. So God speaks to us again by making himself known in a personal, tangible way through Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles today, just go ahead and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we covered some of these scriptures last time, but we're leading into how he speaks to us, right? So, you guys there? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen? So the Word became flesh. This is what we talk about, that God is external, that Jesus, right, himself has existed from the very beginning of time. And that not only was he God, but he is God. And it emphasizes again the divine nature and the unity that the Father and the Son have. And then we're going to cover a little bit, and the Holy Spirit, who's the third person in the triune God, right, comes. So he's not far away. He's not distant, right? Which is unique to the Christian religion, and I've said this before. If you study other religions, you're going to find out that it's the God out there. That almost the God that you can't see, the God that you will never comprehend, the God that you have to work, like Rihanna said, and maybe you'll get to be with him. Jesus came to do away with all of that. Our Father came to do away with all of that. So you don't have to work. It's faith, by God's mercy, right? By God's mercy, we're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. So he makes himself personal. It's not the distant God. See, when we first started, maybe when we were younger, we had different notions of who God was. We thought that God was this cosmic bully, that he was out there to get you. You know, if you grew up in a Hispanic home, you hear this, Dios te va a castigar. God is watching you. He's going to punish you. Dios te va a castigar. And you're like, oh my gosh. Looking at him like, yes? Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
God is not a cosmic bully. He makes himself known. He's very personal. In John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, we're establishing that this is Jesus, God incarnate, and he's the eternal Word. He was there in the beginning to live among the people, showing that he perfectly embodies God's love and his righteousness. And this is why I said even earlier when I was praying, whenever we're going through something, we have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not like he's far away and distant, that he doesn't understand our hurts. He doesn't understand what we feel like we've been betrayed. He doesn't understand. He understands, right? When our friends let us down, he understands. There's a song that, you know, I think it's Matt Chandler sings. He says, he understands, right? I don't know if you guys heard that song. Maybe we're going to sing it next week. But Jesus understands us. In John 1:18, if you look further down in that chapter, in John 1:18, it says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is God himself, and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. See, we talk about what that means, and that we can have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And that's so important. Because again, it's not the God out there. It's a God that comes down and he meets us where we are. He leaves the 99 to find the what? The one. So that's the one, you know, you might be like, my one and only, right? You know, you were the 99 and the one and only. The one that got lost, but that Jesus comes down and surrenders his life to find the one. And that no one has physically seen God is what we see in that scripture. But Jesus, the only Son, has revealed him, God, to us. He's the perfect representation of God's nature and shows us who God is by his life and by his teaching. This is why Jesus is awesome. I don't know if you guys know that. Can you guys say, repeat after me. Jesus is what?
Awesome.
Jesus is awesome, right? I love reading the New Testament because I love, you know, I just picture myself there. Like, when you guys, when you read the New Testament, don't just read it. Like, imagine that you're there. Like, imagine the dust and the taste and the sounds and people hungering around. And then Jesus just, like, throwing all the, I always say, like, when he's talking to the Pharisees, and he's like, he just comes at them with these awesome questions and reveals what? He reveals their true heart to them. And I always say, and I read it, I say, oh, man, Jesus, you're so awesome. That was a mean burn against the Pharisees, right? I love it. I laugh. Like, I actually chuckle when I'm reading the Bible. Because you have to use your imagination, guys. If you're just reading it and you're going through in the black and white, it doesn't come to life. You almost have to picture that you're there. Try it. The next time, in fact, when you read your daily book, try that you're there as what in the audience, that you see the context of what is happening, how God is revealing his perfect nature. He's revealing that he can't fulfill the law. He's just awesome. And I've told you guys before, right? When I was earlier in my 20s, I'm going to pull the car over. I'll tell you guys a story. Earlier in my 20s, everybody that's in here that's been lost and far from God, you've had your own story. So in my 20s, I was out to find out who God was. I was trying to fill my head with all kinds of knowledge. And so I set out to read the top 100 books, right? And I started reading like 100 Years of Solitude. And I was reading John Steinbeck. And I was reading Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist. It's really good books, entertaining. And I would read it and I said, oh, that was good. But there wasn't enough knowledge. I still was struggling. And I've told you guys before, right? Who's my alter ego, Stephen? It's Tupac Shakur. Yeah. That's my alter ego. So outside, I would be going to work, my tie on. I had hair back then. It looked good. I'm professional. I was like, hey, do that, do this. I was a young supervisor. I was a young manager. My life was like, I was on the up and up. But I was so desperate. I needed God. I didn't know it. So I was trying to fill it with all kinds of other things. Knowledge, books. And then, at the top of that list, the top 100 books, there was a book that I was like, oh, I don't know if I should read that one. What was it? It's the Bible. And so I was like, all right, fine. Just for the sake of it, because the number one book, I better read it. But I started reading it with bad intentions. I started reading it to say, it's not true. I'm going to read it just so I could laugh at it. I'm going to read it just, I got halfway through Genesis, and I couldn't. I was like, I don't get it. I stopped. I quit. Why? Because I was looking for the truth, but I didn't know the truth, right? See, Jesus tells us, right, in John 14, he says, no one comes through the Father except through me. And then he fills you with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will start to reveal the power of his word to you, right? And so for me, I was like, oh, no, I'm good. I didn't have the Holy Spirit living within me. So I couldn't get any of it. In fact, I was reading it with the wrong intentions. So if you're reading the book with wrong intentions, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think it's going to come to life? Do you think that God is going to speak to me? No, he didn't. Of course he didn't. Right? Now, later on, right, God got a hold of me. He grabbed me by my ear like I needed. No, he didn't do that. But I was in a place in my life where I knew that I was empty on the inside. That I was sick and tired of being Tupac Shakur on the inside. And that I needed to give my life to him.
Amen.
And when I did that, man, this book started to come to life. because then I could hear the author speaking to me. And that makes a difference. So John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so I couldn't understand the word, even though it was revealed to me in his word here in the Bible, because my heart wasn't ready. I had not given my heart to the Lord yet. And so number two builds on that, because God speaks to us again, what? Through his word. God speaks to us through his word. And the scripture's there, so you don't have to turn on your Bible, but it's Hebrews 4:12, and it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even into dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Man, that's powerful, right? I was going to bring my machete and I forgot to bring it. Just to kind of use the example, because some of you guys are visual learners. But it starts, oh, yes. Giselle has her. I should have asked. I should have known. Everybody in my family has a machete in their car. But we just forgot. We are from Osama. But just use your imagination. This is a pen. And it cuts through the marrow and the bone and the soul and the spirit. Imagine now that the word comes to life. Not when you just, you see, if you just gloss over it and you don't let it penetrate and don't meditate on it, you might miss it. But there's power in his word. This verse reminds us, number one, that God's word is living and it's powerful. It's not just words on a paper. It's dynamic and it's relevant. And it speaks to our innermost being. Cuts through your heart and your mind. What have you ever gone through when you've been reading the Bible and you just feel like, whoa, there's a deep conviction about what you're just reading. Because you're reading it and you find out that something's happening in your life and you almost feel the sense like, I'm talking to you. You know that thing that you're going through that you're trying to do on your own? Or that unforgiveness that you have in your heart? Or your pride? Or maybe that secret sin that you think nobody knows about? I'm talking to you. And that's why God's word is so powerful. Because it penetrates to divide the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it judges our thoughts and the attitude of the heart. And aren't you glad that it's God's word that judges your thoughts and the attitudes of your heart? Because Jeremiah tells us what? That above all, the human heart is desperately wicked. There's things that if we had a camera and we put on the screen, the things that go through our minds throughout the day, we would be embarrassed. But thank God that his word comes alive, that it brings judgment and discernment to us. Because there's things that God is still working through us, right? To live is a struggle. It's that balance with the flesh, as Paul says it best, right? The things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I don't want that I want to do, I don't do. Does that make sense? That's the struggle. But the word encourages us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so Paul is telling us that every scripture is inspired by God. Every part of it. Now I know when you're reading your Bibles, you guys love to study the book of Leviticus. You love to study the book of Numbers. You're like, I don't know why I get lost in all the laws and all this other stuff. It's all inspired by God. It's good to go through it. We're not going to skip it. But what Jesus said, I came to fulfill the whole law. So we need to, you know, read it, but at the same time, understand that all scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful. It's not just your human ideas. This is God speaking to us. Meaning it comes directly from him and it teaches us how to live. It shows us where we're going wrong. It corrects us when we're strayed. And it trains us in righteousness so that we can live according to God's will. See, how many of you guys have ever put together a piece of furniture from IKEA? Anybody? Oh my gosh. It's like 50 pages, and it's awful. But how many of you guys, you got the 50 pages, you're like, I can do this myself. I don't need this instruction book. That's a suggestion. Anybody done that? And then you put it together, and it's upside down. The handles are backwards. There's 10 extra screws. No, all those were extra. Those are extra. It's good. Look, you're trying to convince your wife it's all sideways. It sound familiar?
Yeah.
Some of you guys are doers, right? It takes me forever to put things together. I'm not going to lie. One day it took me a full day to put dresses together because I'm like, okay, right here. A goes to A1 and B1. I like to follow instructions, right? This book, though, is an instruction manual for your life.
Amen.
This book brings life. So, you know what? Maybe putting the cabinet together, the dresser together, the instruction manual is optional. If you do it wrong, maybe it's going to be like jamming and you'll kick it or you'll do something. But you can't do that with your life. Because try it. Go against what God's word has to say about how we do life, about how we get to the Father, about how we do relationships, about how we parent, about how we encourage each other as brothers and sisters. You think it's going to go well? We try to do the same thing. I'm going to do it my own. I don't need to look. God, that's a recommendation. But do people, you're like, I'll just figure it out. No, just stay there. And that doesn't work out, guys. That's why God's word is so powerful. Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Man, that's awesome. See, God's words are not your words. God's words are not your friend's recommendations. Sometimes you go through life and you're like, let me ask my friend what I should do right now. Let me ask my friend what I should do about this. Should I go over here? And what? Sometimes itchy ears want to hear what they want to hear, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody want, hey, let me go ask this person. I'm not going to go to God. I'm not going to read what he has to say about that. Let me ask this person over here that's going to co-sign this check. Right? It's not a good check, but I want somebody to co-sign with me. And that person does it, and then you go through with it, and then guess what happens? You fall flat on your face with that decision. And then you regret it, right? You have grief, you have conflict, because we've gone outside of what God said. See, God's word is not, they're not the words of our friends and our family. God's word doesn't come back empty. It accomplishes the desire and the purpose for which he sent it out. He speaks through his word. It's effective and it's powerful. It never fails. And whether it's bringing conviction or encouragement, it guides us. It always accomplishes what God intended. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when I first got saved too, I just got going through and I'm looking at the book of Genesis and you start getting like, I would say, I use my imagination. And I would say, man, God, why don't you, I'm walking to work and I said, God, why don't you speak to me through this bush right here? Abraham, that'd be awesome. Right? There's something there. You're reading as a man in the bush. Whoa, was that you, God? You guys have your imagination. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Mm-hmm. You're over there, like, with your weed whacker. Whoa. That would get your attention, amen?
Yeah,
it would. You'd be freaked out. It would get your attention. And a lot of times people will say, man, when I'm reading, I don't hear God. I don't hear him. I don't hear him audibly. Have you ever thought that to yourself? You have, huh? Let me give you a little, here's a pro point for today. A pro Christian point. If you want to hear God, read the Bible out loud, guys. Read the Bible out loud. I'm not kidding you. It will change your devotion. Why? We just said it. There's power in his word. But here's the other thing. Some of you guys are not good learners, meaning you're not visual learners. How many of you guys are visual learners in the room? Okay, three of you, four of you, right? You have to engage other senses in how you learn. So I need to listen. I know my wife's going to say, I don't know about all that. You never listen to me. Okay. Our name is the first one on the back of the marriage class, okay? But the reason why I'm saying, I'm not kidding you, read this word out loud. Because It triggers a different pathway in your brain. You're going to visualize it, but you're going to hear it again. So now you're engaging two of your pathways to learn. Some of you guys are doers, which is why through the campaign, we're going to learn about doing things. How do you get, you know, a lot of us, we know a lot of scripture. And we have a lot of head knowledge about who God is. But then we become spiritually obese. We know a lot about God, but we're not his hands and his feet. We're not serving, we're not inviting, we're not doing. I'm just calling it. We need to get on a diet, guys. We need to work it out for Jesus. We need a spiritual, right? We need a spiritual workout plan. My brother's always here. Look at his arms. Look at the guns. Come on, Joe, show the guns. Yeah, Joey's here to encourage me. I feel convicted every time. Look at this shirt right here, guys. I looked in the mirror. I said, babe, do I look like a sausage today? I'm too tired. I look like a salchicha. She said, it looks fine. I tried it, but I still look like a sausage this morning. That's why she loves me. That's how you know it's real. It's not the body, okay? But Joey, we need to work that out. Paul says you need to work on your faith, right? Don't just get full of all this head knowledge and, you know, all these scriptures. Because if you start doing that, you start turning into what? A Pharisee. It's about the legalism. It's about the do's and don'ts. And then we're really quick to judge. Oh, did you see that person? Oh, wait, that person's not doing that. Oh, they didn't show. Yeah, forget about all that. Get busy working out for Jesus. Right? That's the third way that we learn. There's other pathways, but if you want to hear God speak to you, read the Bible out loud. Try it this week. I challenge you guys. Try it this week and come back on Sunday and let me know how it worked out. Because oftentimes what will happen is we'll read the scripture, read the word, and you're like, I don't know what I read. I lost track of what I was saying. That happened to you guys? Uh-huh. It's okay. It happens to me too.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just being real. You want to hear God speak? Read the word out loud. Number three, when you trust Jesus for salvation, there's another way that God speaks to you. He will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15, verses 14 to 25 says, John 14, 15, all the way to 25 says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and that you are in me, and that I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and will show them to myself. Right? Let's get down to 23. It says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me and obeys my teaching, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you are hearing are not my own. They belong to my Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Amen?
Amen.
Man, that's powerful, guys. I don't know if you guys, to me, I love John 14. That's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I always say, the honesty, right? I love where he said, show us where you're going. Like, I haven't seen it. Show us the Father. And Jesus is like, dude, really? Haven't you seen me? Haven't you believed in the works? But then he tells them about the Holy Spirit, the advocate that's going to come. See, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I said this, it's a personal relationship. And then God himself, the creator of the universe, comes to live inside of you. He comes in, and he's not the person that comes to live with you, your relative that never leaves. Your relative that you're like, oh my gosh, where are they going to go? They're so messy. They don't cook. They don't clean. I hate them. I thought they were just staying for 2 days. They've been like here for 2 months. They don't even pay rent. No, the Holy Spirit comes in and he starts working. The Holy Spirit is awesome because all that filth that you had in your heart, no, he's not going to leave it like that. The Holy Spirit is the one that's opposite. He's like, let me clean this up right here for you because, man, this is awful. You couldn't have done this by yourself. You definitely need my help. Amen?
Amen.
So, man, we got to love ourselves, the Holy Spirit. He will not leave us as orphans. He comes to us, right? And that's why the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth, because he guides us into truth. And the world doesn't, the scripture that says the world doesn't recognize God's truth. They want to kick God out of everything, right? No God in school, no prayer in school, your God doesn't exist. It's everything against God. You have leaders that say, this used to be a Christian nation, it's not anymore. And so what do we see in the culture? Do we see more moral decay and problems that are happening because we're kicking out God? And the Spirit of Truth is not. And when the truth is absent, guess what happens? All kinds of lies start to break in. Everybody gets to live their own truth. And what I feel one day I'm this, the next day I'm that. I feel like this is good for me. Who are you to decide? When there's no absolute truth, which is God's word, all chaos ensues, guys. It means everything goes. I mean that. We have to have absolute truths that come from God's word, or chaos is going to ensue. And just turn on the TV and tell me if it's not true. And what is breaking God's heart too is that we have, even from the pulpits across this country, people preaching a false gospel and a false word. And that has to break God's heart as well. But the Spirit, right? He comes to convict us, to guide us, to teach us. How many of you have been going about your day and you hear the Holy Spirit prompting you, say, I need you to go do this one thing right now. And if we're obedient, we'll go do it. And sometimes we will be disobedient to the Holy Spirit. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Where I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to go minister to somebody and pray over somebody, and I'll be like, the Holy Spirit, she's crying all hard. I don't want to get all kinds of mocos on my shirt. Holy Spirit, are you talking to me? Like, can you send somebody else? I'm really busy. I got a bunch of emails to do right now, Holy Spirit. I got to go prepare for this meeting. Happened to you? And then guess what happens? God wanted to use you and we missed it. See, when the Holy Spirit prompts you and he wants you to do something, it's for your benefit. He's inviting you to be a part of his kingdom and a part of his work. Nothing is more important. We can make excuses all day. Like that day, I made an excuse. But the Holy Spirit is guiding us because he wants us at times to be his hands and his feet. And when we are obedient, the blessing is for us. We need to hear through the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to his guidance. We need to spend time in prayer and obey what he reveals to us, right? The Holy Spirit aligns us with God's word. It's not going to be out of alignment, you know? How many times have you given your kids confusing instructions? One parent says this, the other parent says that. And the kids are like, what? That's why you're... And, or the kid comes and asks you, say, I don't know, ask your mom. And they say, I don't know, ask your dad. That's all kinds of confusion for the kids. Poor kids are like doing all kinds of steps inside the house. They have their watch on. They're like, Dad, I already have 10,000 steps. You guys keep going back and forth. Holy Spirit isn't confusing like we're confusing. It's not going to say, oh, God's word says one thing, but the Holy Spirit told me another thing. Or I read this. No, it's all in alignment. And that's why you have to test and approve, right? Because sometimes you think that you heard, no, go back to the word. There's not some confusion about it. We try to justify our action, justify our disobedience, justify our sin sometimes. But, oh, no, because I thought I heard this. No, no, that's a lie. The word is congruent with what the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit says. And so we've got to make sure that when we understand that, we deepen our relationship with him, that we, because, why? Because he wants what's good for us, guys. Because one of the attributes that you hear a lot about in the culture is that God is love, that he's for us, right? He's also a just God. Don't ignore that part. We've learned about the Creator last week, and how He's powerful and He's sovereign. You know what it doesn't say there? It doesn't say that He's a teddy bear. People love themselves the God teddy bear. Oh, He's love. He's so mushy, like I love Him. He would never judge me like that. Why are you always judging me? Because I believe in science. No. God is just, and He's going to judge. Because He's good, because He loves us, we need justice, guys. We need judgment, we need rebuke, we need encouragement. If you're a parent that gives your kids everything that they want to their heart, to their greedy little heart's content, what's going to happen to those kids? They're going to be spoiled rotten. They're living in fantasy land. The next time Lily asks me for something, I'm going to say, no, just because. You too, Jake. God and the Holy Spirit there's not a disagreement, guys. It's congruent. He's guiding us for our benefit, and we hear that through the Holy Spirit. And we need to spend time. Guess what? Here's the reality of it, right? Sometimes you say, well, I'm not hearing. I don't hear God's word. I'm not connected. You know what? We are as near or far away from God as we want to be. When we feel like, oh, I'm not irritable, I'm bad, I'm having, are we spending like quality time with God? Because God is a God of relationship. And we want to be like, you know what happens sometimes in relationships? Like we're bad, right? And we don't spend time, and we're like, and then later, you know, like I'll try to give Stephanie a kiss. Like, hey, what's up? She's like, get out of here. Get away from me. You've been acting like a jerk all day. Sound familiar, anybody? God is a God of relationship. We got to spend time, quality time. So you guys are laughing. You guys know that it's true. We got to spend time with God. We got to hear His word. We got to be attentive to it. Stephanie's number one love language is quality time. It is. So I know that if I'm not listening to her, I'm not spending quality time, it doesn't fill her emotional. You know, I already told you, it's not the body. No, it's the emotional connection. And that's an important thing. And of course, we're hardwired, right? For relationships. But we're more hardwired to be in relationship with God. Because when we're trying to fill that void with something else, you're not going to have contentment and peace and joy and hope. You can't. Stephanie's not meant to be my idol. You guys have seen her. You heard me say that. Your spouse, your kids, they're not meant to fill that hole in your heart that is for God, that is for worship, that is for personal connection. And so we have to be very intentional to nurture that relationship. Because when you nurture that relationship, everything else flows, right? There's peace. You're not all mad. See, some of you guys are secret Tupacs too. You just won't admit it. Well, when you're disconnected with God, you're all irritable. You're not in your word. You're not praying. You're being disobedient to the Holy Spirit. And do we think that the blessing is going to come out of that? Of course not. Of course not. So we have to be intentional to cultivate that relationship. When we're right with God, and our conversation is going well, and we're hearing from Him, then at the other end of it, we're going to turn gears a little bit, right? Because when you're hearing from God, you have the opportunity to do what? To talk back to God. Amen? So number four, you can speak to God by praying. You can speak to God by praying. John, 1 John 5:14 says, this is a confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. See, it's not like God is not like us. I've told you guys. In order for my wife to communicate well with me, I tell her what? Make sure that I'm looking at you. And then make sure that I go like this. Yes, I hear you. But if she's here talking to this part, even though this is like a big old ear here, it's not registering. But we have assurance that when we pray to God, He hears us. It encourages us to approach Him with confidence, not all nervous, Have you ever had to go like talk to your boss and you're like, oh, I'm nervous? What if they say no? Or they're mean? Or let me see what kind of mood she's in. Or he's in. You know something, Mike? If they're in a bad mood, don't even, right? Or kids too, right? Kids are like, what kind of mood is mom and dad in today? Is this a good time? Yeah, all right. And you have to judge it. Like, I think they're in a good mood. I'm going to ask. Right? God is not that way. The scripture tells us what? We can have confidence in approaching God that if we ask anything, what? Now, this is, be careful, because if some of you guys want to get this part confused, it says, I can ask God for anything, and he's going to give it to me. He's not the genie that we found on Reedy Beach earlier. Some of you guys think that he's like that. Here's my God, my genie. Oh, God, can you do this thing? Can you help me win the lottery? You know, I'll do all these things for the kingdom if you let me win the lottery, God. Some of you guys have prayed that prayer before. I have. I'm not going to lie. So, God, you know how many churches we could plant? It was not in God's will. I'm just being real with you guys. So if we ask him anything according to his will, not your will be done, but his will be done, he hears us. So if you're praying for things that are outside of God's will, guess what? Just saying, it's not going to happen. It's very clear. The scripture says it. I didn't make it up. You don't have to be mad at me. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, right? And he's not like our humanly, he's not like us. Whether we're in a good mood or not, he hears us. Amen? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Amen? In this verse, God is speaking to Solomon, right? He's emphasizing what? Four key actions of prayer. Humility. Prayer. Seeking God's face. And repentance. See, you want to come to God and you want to ask him for all these kinds of things. And you're just still steeped in your sin, disobedience. You have your Tupac bandana put on and you're like, I'm just going to come to God however I want. I'm coming to God by my terms because I'm the man. Only God can judge me now. You have that pain in the background. No, it doesn't say that. We have to humble ourselves, right? Pray, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Listen, we don't come to God on our own terms. That's a misunderstanding a lot of people have in the culture. What's my God? I don't believe in that because it doesn't fit what I think is right. Who cares what you think is right? You're not the creator of the universe. You can think what's right when you create your own universe. Until then, this is what we care about. I'm being honest with you. You can use that one next time you're going to go, I don't care if you think you're right. What does God say about this? Oh, man. I just chopped my legs off. But we have to come, again, humility, prayer, seeking God's face, and repentance. And he's faithful, right, to hear us, to heal our lands. But more importantly, what? To heal our hearts, guys. To heal our relationships. To heal our hurt and our pain. But we need to follow that pattern that we see in 2 Chronicles. See, God is, again, a God of relationship. It's not confusing like the way that I said with that joke about how we can't understand our spouses. God makes it very clear. He's like, I'm going to speak to you through my word. I'm going to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. But you also have the opportunity, the flip side of it, to converse back to God. Isn't that so important? To converse. One of the keys to a healthy relationship is good communication back and forth. I hear you, and I'm reciprocating. I hear, what do you think? Okay, good, let's go. It's the same with God, except God makes it very clear and he's easy to communicate with, which if you comprehend what we learned last week is amazing, guys. The fact that the Creator and the God of the universe, the one, He loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. He wants to have a relationship. And He cares about us.
Amen.
He cares about us. So number five, we can connect with God in a meaningful way by reading His Word, by meditation, and prayer. We can connect with God in a meaningful way by reading His Word, meditation, and prayer. And now this week you're going to read it out loud. Now you'll notice up on top, hold on, I'm going to get my our PowerPoint lit up. The prayer, P.R.A.Y. Oh man, I need a prayer right there. Because you guys have all heard, right, the blueprint for prayer. You guys, a lot of you guys are familiar with the acronym ACTS when you pray. Not like ACTS, you better ask somebody, but ACTS. A-C-T-S. Which is acknowledge, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That's one, that's a model. Today we're going to learn about pray, right? So if you hit the next slide, brother. It's praise, repent, ask, and yield. I like this one. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. Number one, first one is praise. Why do we got to praise God? And He's worthy. He's the Creator. He's awesome. He's worthy of our adoration and praise. Jesus Himself says, if you don't praise, man, the rocks are going to cry out and worship me. Right? R, repent. Why? We got to repent daily. Listen, brothers and sisters, we're sinners. Just because you gave your life to Christ doesn't mean that you stopped sinning. No, you need, like, is that flesh? You're going to fail. You need His grace and His mercy every single day, so repent. And then you can ask. Then you can ask for intercede prayer. Prayers of intercession. You can ask for God's guidance in situations. But the last one is the one that this is why I like this one. Yield. When you're driving in the car and you see the yield sign, what does it mean? Does it mean put your foot on the gas? Echale gas. Peel out. Is that what that means? No, it doesn't. It means slow down, huh? It means look both ways. In Reedley, there's a whole bunch of these little new things. The circles in Reedley. There's one right there by the high school. There's another one by Dinuba. That's like a new thing, huh? Even that. We had one, and Dinuba had to go get one. Oh, yes. We're missing out on the little circles with the yield.
Roundabout.
The roundabouts, I'm sorry. In Spanish, it's called glorietas. There you go. En español. But the yield sign means, hey, watch out. Slow down. Pay attention. Because oftentimes we're guilty. When we pray to God, what do? We do maybe these three, maybe our prayer life is not the best, and so we go straight into the ask mode. We don't even thank you. We're like, hey, let me have, it's like I come to Joey. Joey, give me 10 bucks right now. Hey, Joey, I need this right now. Come on, Joey. I mean, we don't even like to be taught that way, right? At least like a good morning, how are you? How have you been? You're so awesome. Something. Nothing. Just straight to the ask. That sound familiar? You think God is, again, the genie in the lamp. Right here. Oh, God. Build that bridge to Hawaii for me. No. So we have to do it in the right order. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. And yield because what? If you talk to people that like that in your life, you ask them, all, Joey, I need to, and then you just take off. And he was about to speak. He was about to open his wallet, and a $100 bill was about to hit the palm of my hand. But no, I just prayed, asked, and I took off. Sometimes when we pray to God, don't we just do that? Amen. Don't we say, God, you're awesome. God, I'm sorry. God, will you speak to me? God, I need your help. And you're like, all right, peace out, God. I'm out. Email me. Put it in my DM. What the heck? What he's saying is you got to wait. Be still. Let God respond.
Amen.
Meditate with Him. Spend time with Him. Yield with Him. Stop. Slow down. Joey was going to give me $100 on that. Good job. Matthew 6:9-13. You guys are very familiar with this passage. Right? This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, right? Your kingdom come. We learned it in this, some of us learned it like Shakespeare, right? The King James Version. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, right? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus gives a blueprint for how we pray. Now, the religious folks, the action of, doesn't mean that you regurgitate this one over and over and over again. Doesn't mean that. I told you guys, right? You've gone to a rosary, and you feel your life at the Mexican auction. Santa Maria, amen. $5 over here. Father, how does that bring God glory, guys? How are we talking to him? That guy, my kids came and asked me the same thing 20 times in a row, and I said, okay, I hear you. Clearly, you're trying to tell me something by repeating the same thing over and over again, like you're at a Mexican auction. It doesn't bring glory to God. God is a personal God. I think he just wants to be the same thing repeated over and over again. So guess what? Be authentic with God. When you pray to him, you don't have to impress him. You don't have to be like you're Shakespeare, like you're so elegant. Heavenly Father, you know my heart, God. He's not impressed by all that. He's not like an English Shakespeare wearing a puffy hat. No. Be real with him. Amen. Don't be all nervous. I don't know how to pray. You know how to talk? Talk to God. Follow the pattern. Praise him. Repent, ask, and yield. You know how to talk? Talk to God. God is not this God where you have to approach him and be like, you do have to come with awe and reverence, but he's relational. Some people feel like they have to have the perfect prayer. Oh, I can't pray. I can't pray. I'm terrible at prayer. You can talk. I heard you talk. Sometimes you can't be quiet. We can pray. We have to be authentic. Jesus himself said it prior to this. He says, and don't be like the hypocrites that love to pray and hear themselves out loud. Guess what? Your prayer should be private. It's between you and God. When you have an important conversation, do you have your important conversation all up in everybody's business? Jesus himself says, if you're praying like that, you've already reached your reward. You're doing it to gain social status. You want people to look at, oh man, that prayer, that's like a professional prayer right there. On her signature, on her email, it says, professional prayer. She's awesome. God is not impressed by that. She's a professional. I have a business card. I'm a professional prayer. God doesn't care about that. In fact, you've already reaped your reward when you do that. You pray in private. Yes, we pray publicly or we're at a meal. You pray, we're outside, we pray corporately here. But your prayer, you have to be real with God and let him know, man, there's a lot of filth right here, guys. Stop fronting. We need to, what? Praise him, repent, ask, and yield. Jesus himself gives us the blueprint. He's saying, I'm giving you the model of the blueprint, but I'm not telling you to repeat this thing 50 times, 10 times. So be very careful how you craft your prayer, too. Your prayer can't be the microwave prayer like we do, right? The go-to prayer that you have already. You have one. It's a prayer right before you eat. It's a prayer when you pray, when you get in the car, your microwave prayer. You're like, here's my Pop-Tart prayer. Bing, I'm done. I'm out. I did my duty. No. Be real with God. Pray in private. Come forward, right, with praise and adoration. With repentance. And you can ask and then you can yield. That's the blueprint that Jesus gave us. Prayer is communication with God. And if we want to have a healthy relationship, we need to pray regularly, right? We want to have healthy relationships with our families, with our brothers and sisters, with our spouses, with our friends. Yes? It means it's going to cost you something, guys. Nobody eats at the table for free. It's going to cost you some time, some dedication, some devotion. But no other relationship is more important in your life than your relationship with God. We have to prioritize that time. God wants to hear from us. God wants to hear from us. Say it with me. God wants to hear from us. So let's talk to him. Let's hear. Let's bend an attentive ear and the whites of our eyes to him. Because God wants to hear from us. And here's the thing, we want to hear from him. You guys know that our oldest son, Ethan, he has autism. He didn't speak for a long time. It took him about the time he was three when he started speaking. To our surprise, he could actually read before he actually had full-on conversations with us. And I told you, God is still working through him, right? Ethan is a miracle, and he's one of the reasons why I came to be saved, I'm quite honest with you. He's a big old dude now. He has a big old mustache now. But he's still my son. And he likes it when I like, he acts like he doesn't like it, but I'll like give him a hug and then he'll come. And he's funny like that. Sometimes he'll come and then he'll like hold your hand or put his face against your face. Right? He doesn't say a whole lot. He's a man of little words. And I've shared this before. I said, as a father, one of the things that would break my heart is I would come home and I would say, Ethan, how was your day? And he would never respond to me. I said, Ethan, how was school today? And he would never respond. And it wasn't until about 4 or 5 years ago, I said, Ethan, how's your day? He said, it was good, Dad. And I turned around and I told Stephanie, I started crying like a baby then. Because you don't understand what it means when you're a father or a parent to hear your kid talk back to you. Not talk back with attitude, but just to say, yes, Dad, it was good. Good morning, Dad, how are you? A lot of us, we take it for granted. I'm telling you, as a father that wants to hear from his children, our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us even more. Yeah. Don't waste the opportunity, guys. Every day is a blessing. Every day is a day that we can be right and talk to God, and he talks back to us. And there is nothing better in this life than having a healthy relationship and communicating with the Heavenly Father. Yeah. Now, I still am holding on to the promise, right? That in this life or the next, I'm going to walk up and have a massive conversation with Ethan. And I'm going to have to tell him, all right, man, calm down. You told me too many details. Until that day, I'm still praying, still hoping, right? It's getting better. The one thing that he does know how to say is, go away, Dad. Go away, Dad, go away. Because I'm trying to get him in his business. Go away, Dad, leave me alone. He's still a teenager, guys. Our kids might have autism, they'll be this way. They're still teenagers. I still have to, like, hey, I'm still your dad, calm down. Anyway, let's stand up. Father God, thank you for this morning and for this day. Lord, thank you for that you are a God that speaks to us, that you are not silent, that you're not this cosmic ruler that's way out there. Know that you loved us enough to send your son to die on the cross so that sinners like us can know you, that sinners like us can have a way back to you, that the Holy Spirit could come live inside of us, that you sent your son to die a sinner, a convict's death for the forgiveness of our sins, Heavenly Father. You're that God, that you love us like that. So, Father, help us to communicate with you. Help us not to be lazy in our devotion. Help us to remember what it cost you. Help us to remember what it cost Jesus on the cross. Help us not grieve the Spirit, but to be right with you and just to come before you with praise and repentance. And then we can ask and we yield. Help us to be in our word, Lord God, through the power of the Holy Spirit to achieve the fullness of the knowledge of who you are, God. That's my prayer for our church. And Father God, if we're not right with you today, this morning, will you speak to us right now and help us to surrender whatever sin, whatever thing has been inhibiting our walk? Can we just lay it aside? Whether it's our pride, or unrepentant sin, or whatever it is that we've been holding on to, a foothold, a stronghold that the enemy has put in our heart, a lie that has been told to us, let us just tear down those lies. Unroot those lies, Lord God, of conflict and division that live in our hearts sometimes, and to be right with you. Father, will you come and will you heal our hearts? Will we repent from our sin? Will you come and bring the healing that we need to restore our relationship with you and restore our relationship with our brothers and sisters, with our families, with our kids, Lord God. Whatever conflict we're having, like, you didn't make us to have the conflict. You didn't make us for that. You made us for right relationship with you first, and then, Lord God, with people around us. Lord God, will you give us a burden, Lord God, to spend more time with you, to want to be in right relationship, because we know that when we're right with you, out of the overflow and the abundance of that relationship, every other relationship in our life is blessed. So will you free us from that, Lord God? Will you free us from the captivity of the lies that say, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I don't have time. Lord God, will we prioritize this relationship above anything else, Lord God, because nothing is more important. Thank you, Lord God, this morning for this day. The Holy Spirit has been moving in with you this morning, and you want to, and you're not quite sure, or you don't know, you're reading the book and it doesn't come to life. You're not sure if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Today's the day to decide. The Holy Spirit has been prompting you this morning, and you haven't given your life to Christ. I want you to follow me in this prayer. It's very simple. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say you are, that you are the Son of God, that you died and you raised from the grave 3 days later, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Will you help me to live for you from this day forward? If you pray that prayer right now, or if you made a recommend, raise your hand. We want to come alongside you and love you and encourage you in this church. We don't want to just come and play church. We want to come alongside you and love on you and pray for you and encourage you in your walk. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for the salvation of the hearts that are whole here, Lord God. But if somebody wants to pray that prayer to you in silence, in private, Lord God, will they pray that, Lord Jesus? Make them uncomfortable, Lord God. Holy Spirit, continue to knock on their hearts until they open the door and they allow you to say, come on in. Because this heart needs cleansing. This heart needs restoration. This heart needs forgiveness. That only comes from you, Father God. Lord, for the rest of us, will you continue to guide us, Lord? Strengthen us in our walk and our relationship with you. Speak to us through the power of your word, through the Holy Spirit. Continue to encourage us as the church body, Lord. Thank you again for the privilege it is to know you, to be known by you. Lord, help us to be effective to make you known as well. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.